praise God for giving me the opportunity to be able to come up here and speak his words and not my words. And the reason that the sermon title is not on the bulletin is because I thought of it yesterday. So it was that week. But I want to tell you that God is good. All the time. My title of my sermon are People Are Thirsty. And I want to know who's thirsty here, because I'm thirsty for the living water. Amen? Amen? Jesus is offering that to us. And as I was this week coming home from the train at night, you get very colorful people in the trains. So there was this guy who came. He was full with tattoos, his neck everywhere. And there was a person ministering to him. And he's telling him, Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming back soon. And he's giving this guy, if you could find the word, he's giving it to him. And he's just, you know, wailing on him. Don't talk to me about church. I don't want to hear about anything. You know, God wasn't there for me. And the guy just keeps telling him, Jesus loves you. Jesus is there for you. And the guy goes, where was he when I was homeless? Where was he when my wife left me, when my kids left me? And the guy just kept on. Jesus has something for you. He has living water to change you from somebody of shame, from somebody of guilt, to somebody new. But the guy just kept on going. And finally, the guy says, the guy who was ministering to him said, let me pray for you. So he held his shoulder, and they prayed together. And the guy who had the tattoos was almost going to cry. And after a while, he started talking to the person who was ministering to him, and he was telling him his story. And he was telling that he was in prison, that, you know, it was a very hard life for him. And Jesus, he told him, my friend, Jesus has a place for you. Jesus has a place where you would not feel like that anymore. There's living water that he could give you that you would not thirst again. And I want to tell you that there are so many people living in this time who are thirsty for Jesus. Amen? I'm sitting up here, standing up here, and I want to tell you that I'm thirsty for Jesus, because we all need that living water. It is the only way that we're going to be able to make it to see him again. Amen? So we have this woman, a Samaritan woman, and let's say she's had a couple of boyfriends, and you know, when she goes to the well, does anybody know the name of the well? Jacob's well, okay. That he gave to Joseph. Okay, so she's going to the well. Normally, what happens is people go there. They go in the morning or late at night, because in the mid-afternoon, the sun is blistering hot. So she had a need to be there. And Jesus also, if you guys know the story about the Samaritans and the Jews, the Jewish hated the Samaritans and the Samaritans hated the Jews. So they usually take the long way around to get to Galilee. But Jesus had to be at that well that day. Amen? He had to minister to somebody that day. So as we follow the story, and we know the chapter before, chapter 4, that he ministered to Nicodemus. And you see, Nicodemus was one of the leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And it's an example of the truth that no one can rise so high as to above the knee of salvation. And the Samaritan woman is an example that no one can sink so low as not to merit salvation. Jesus came to save the rich, the poor, the sinner, anybody who he could save, he would save. Because let me tell you something. He wants every person to go to heaven. He came and he died for one person who would believe in him. If it was one person, he said he would give the whole heavenly kingdom. And what a God we serve. I mean, when you hear about things that he did, about the love of this woman, because he knew he had to be there that day. Does everybody agree that he knew she was going to be there at the exact moment, the exact time? Well, I want to tell you that God knows where you're going to be at the exact moment, the exact time. And he wants to help you, and he wants to give you the living water. There's no, what about this? God is there waiting for you. God is there to give you that water. So as we see, the woman needed that living water. And when she came to the well, it's really an amazing story, because for Jesus to reveal himself to her, she goes, "Who are you?" And she goes, "I am he who you speak of." And when I think about that, there's not too many stories in the Bible where Jesus reveals himself to that person. And I want to tell you that he wanted that woman to be saved. Amen. But also, before that, she had to recognize her sins. Amen. So we read about the conversation with the Samaritan woman who had to come to the water, to the well. She was a Samaritan race, and the Jewish people utterly despised as them having no claim to God. She was an outcast and was looked upon down by her own people. This was evident that she did not come with all the young ladies, or, you know, going to the well at that time was like going to the cooler in the office. It was a time to socialize. It was a time to go to the water. She felt a deep shame in her sins, but Jesus came to save her. Jesus came to forgive her for her sins, but first she had to recognize what she was doing. This woman was ostracized and marked as immoral, a woman living openly with the sixth in the series of men. The story of the woman at the well teaches us that God loves us despite ourselves, in spite of ourselves. And when Jesus came to her, you know, a lot of times we go to those who need minister to, and we try to, you know, give them the Bible, and judge them. But as far as they, the Jewish and the Samaritan, they hated each other. And she felt so comfortable. She felt so at peace with him that she utterly was, the love that he showed her, you know, she completely, you know, felt a totally difference. And then that's what he says, that's what she asks him, "Are you the Messiah?" And he says, "Yes, it's me who you're speaking of." And, you know, sometimes there's many stories in the Bible where we could, you know, take from this that when we come to minister to those who need life-saving water, we need to do it in love. You know, and I have, it's amazing because I have my own personal stories for the week. It's like every time I preach, something happens. And I work with this guy at work, and this guy, he's on drugs every night, he drinks every night, and he's completely out of it every night. So we're talking about Jesus, and he goes, "I believe in Jesus." I tell him, Jesus came to save you. And he goes, no, not me. I says, "No, Jesus came to save you." And he says, "He has living water for you. He has water to restore you from what you were going through." And he just couldn't believe it. So he kept on, you know, in the state that he was in, he kept on orally. But no, I says, "Let me tell you something. You are not the worst person that has ever lived. Jesus has forgiven many of people 100 times worse than you. He's there to give you the life-saving water that you need." And, you know, I don't know if he took everything in, but let me tell you, I know you can see in people's faces that he took, that Jesus came to save him. Who knows how he'd be transformed? That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to transform. But as long as you bring that message to them and bring them light to him, he was willing to receive. And we see this woman, we learn through Jesus, can we obtain and receive eternal life? Jesus answered everyone, "Who drinks this water will never thirst again. For whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst indeed. The water I give him will become in him a spring welling up to eternal life." John 4:13-14, the scripture reading. And I want to tell you that, who wants to have the eternal spring leading up to eternal life? I know there are many, many who are looking for that spring of water, because we know we're living in a time where there's so much chaos going on. There's so much, you know, this world, my friends, we can pray for everything, but we know what's coming. If we study the scriptures and we know prophecy, we know that things are coming that we need to be prepared for. And I want to tell you, you should drink the living water every day, because it's the only way that we're going to go through what we have to go through. We have to have faith, because let me tell you, the reason Nicodemus believed in him was all the miracles that Jesus did, because he asked him, You do all these things, you know. So by seeing, he believed. But the woman at the well, she believed him just by the way he talked to her. He didn't show her any miracles. He didn't show her any kind. That's the type of faith that we need to have. She was completely, you know, she was so impressed by him, right? So here she is. She's feeling low. She's feeling down. She's feeling ashamed, right? And Jesus tells her, whatever I give you, you will never thirst again. And I want to tell you, when you have an encounter with God, you'll never be the same. Never. Whoever has an encounter with God cannot be the same person. Cannot. He's going to change, transform your life from wherever you've been to wherever he needs you to go. And I want you to know that every person in this congregation needs to have that same encounter as the woman at the well. Every person needs to have or want to have that spiritual water, because we all need it and we all want it. So even though Jesus confronted her about her sins, Jesus displayed so much love that she felt right away that he was somebody, and she knew it, she was with somebody. When her sins were exposed with the whole interaction with Jesus, she was left without an impression about he was judging her, or the impression that, you know, about the conflict that they had with the Jewish and the Samaritans. And the woman was so encouraged by the love of Jesus that she saw her fellow villagers, even when they had treated her as an outcast. Before, she avoided the company of her fellow citizens, but now she was a changed woman. Now she must share her news with them. The effect of this water does not much more than simply satisfy the thirst of the one who drinks it. It also creates something life-giving in the heart of the one who drinks it. It becomes a fountain of water springing into eternal life. You see, when we have that encounter with God, before we have that encounter with God, we feel sometimes, I mean, I got to be honest, I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like the whole world is crushing down on me, right? I feel sometimes like you can't go on. But then Jesus says, I will extend my victorious right hand and lift you up wherever you are. He wants to give you that power. He wants to give you the love that he gave to this woman. And this woman felt so ashamed that she didn't want to be associated with anybody. But when she had that encounter with Jesus, guess what happened? I got to share the news. I have to go and tell everybody what this man did for me. He told me everything I ever did. And I want to tell you, it's an amazing story. Here she goes from being an outcast, from being not worth, she was not worthy of herself. But that's what she thought. But I want to tell you that Jesus gave her the power to feel and change her entire life right at that moment. And she was so happy and she was so blessed what Jesus had done in her life that she had to share the news. She had to share the news. And I want to tell you that he could transform your lives just like he transformed her at the well. He could give you that everlasting drink. And she went out and she talked to all the men of the city, and a lot of them believed in her because of her testimony. Because, you know, sometimes, yes, we must spread the gospel. Yes, we must go out and go and spread the gospel. But I want to tell you, it's our testimony of what God has done for us in our life that transformed people. It's what God has brought us out of that we testify to those who are living in sin. They need to come to Christ, and they need to repent of their sins. And I want to tell you that she went out, and they believed that he was the Son of God. And they went over there to where Jesus was and asked him, please, could you stay with us? And, you know, could you stay with us and minister to us? And at that time, they never associated with each other, the Samaritans and the Jews. So for him to stay for 2 days, you know, it was something Jesus wanted to show them. That wasn't the way to live. That wasn't the way to be. And there was, you know, we could go back many, many stories about what the Jewish did to Samaritans. The Samaritans, you know, the Jewish burned down their temple, and the Samaritans wanted to kill Nehemiah, and they were trying everything to stop the building of the temple when Nehemiah came back from Babylon. But I want to tell you that Jesus said, no, that is not the way. He wanted to make peace, and he had to be there at the exact time that woman was there. He had to be there to minister to her because he knows our pain. He knows our suffering. When we go somewhere and we think that we feel alone, I want to tell you, you're not alone. Jesus is right next to you. He's right there, right next to you. He already knew what you were going to go through before you were going to go through it. And I want to tell you that he can take you out of any situation and bring you into his marvelous light. Any darkness that you have, he can bring you into the marvelous light. He has that type of power. And I want to tell you that if you believe in him, if you have faith, no matter what happens in this world, nothing's going to matter because Jesus is going to be next to you. There's nothing that could come between you and him if you have a love of Christ in you. Amen? So he stayed with them 2 days. So they told the woman, "We no longer believe because you said so. Now we heard for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world." John 4:39-42. We learn from Jesus' dialogue with the woman at the well, there's three absolute truths about salvation. One, salvation comes only to those who recognize the desperate need for spiritual life that they do not have. Living water can be obtained only by those who recognize that they are spiritually thirsty. Two, salvation comes only to those who confess and repent of their sins and have a desire for forgiveness. Before this immoral woman could embrace the Savior, she had to concede the full burden of her sins. And three, salvation comes only to those who take a hold of Jesus as their Messiah, for the absolute truth is found in no one else. It is common for people to try to satisfy their thirst through many things or through anything except what Jesus gives. They want, they long, they search. Have you ever noticed, not anything with people who have money, because I don't have any money, but not anything with people who have money, but they'll try, everything in their power to find that peace, that happiness that they want. They would try anything. There was a story that came out about most of the billionaires in the world. And, 95% of them, they weren't happy. They had to take this pill for this pill for that. Let me tell you something. The only one that satisfies your heart is Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants to satisfy each and every one. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have it. He came to save the poor. He came to save the rich. He came to save the sinner. And he came to save you. He wants you in heaven. He wants you to be with him in eternal paradise. I want to be there. How about you? He's the only one that satisfies our deepest levels of the heart. Drinking and thirst are a common picture of God's supply and man's spiritual need. Drinking is an action, but an action of receiving, like faith. It is doing something, but it's not a merit earning working itself. Jesus is offering you today to drink of the water of life, to never thirst again. Don't wait for tomorrow, what you can do today. He wants you to give your life to him. And just like the woman at the well who needed his salvation, who needed his love, who needed his care, because you know that she didn't love herself because she was ashamed. She did all the things she did because of that. But I want to tell you that Jesus is offering you life-saving grace. And if you come to him, he will give you the everlasting life. He will give you the everlasting water that you so desperately need. Jesus is calling you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If you have a burden in your life, my friends, I want to tell you, give it to Jesus and you won't have that burden anymore. If you have faith, give it to him and he will take it away. There's been many of people who I've known who in their lifetime who are desperate and they can't go on no more. And I've talked to them. And I want to tell you that when Jesus goes in there and touches your heart, there's no coming back. There's no going back. Jesus wants you to be saved. Jesus wants to give you that water so you won't have to go through what other people who don't have that water or don't want that water will be. He wants you to have a spiritual life connected to him. And let me tell you, when people who are desperately seeking him, who want the same thing that woman had at the well, they would do anything. Some people, they would do anything for jobs, for money, I want to tell you, you should do everything to be close to Jesus Christ. You should do everything in your power to accept his salvation. There's nothing in this world that's worth more than when Jesus came and gave your life and gave his life for you. He came so that you have life abundantly, not that you have life, you know, in misery. I want to tell you that if you are suffering from depression, if you are suffering from some incurable disease, maybe even though it's God's will, I want to tell you that Jesus has the answer for you. Don't go and you know, let God do his will. I've seen many people who have, you know, many difficulties, many diseases, but God was there for him. God was there for her. God lifted up this woman, and I want to tell you that she never was the same again. She never was the same again. She went. She preached the gospel. She went and said, this man, he has so much love for me that I couldn't bear not telling what he was telling me. And just like Jesus did to that woman, we need to go out into the world, and we need to present that living water. We need to tell the world that Jesus has something for them. Because people who don't believe in Jesus Christ think that this is all they have. But I want to tell you, there's something much, 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 much greater than what there is here in this earth. We have our Heavenly Father waiting for us to take us home. To take us home. There's not going to be no more pain. There's not going to be no more suffering. There's not going to be more diseases. There's not going to be no more death. And I want to tell you, if everyone was here, I was going to tell him, his Father and my Father, they're going to wait for us when we see them coming to the glass of glory. Because the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen? So it's not the living who's going to be with Christ. It's the dead in Christ who will rise first. Then we who are alive will meet him in the clouds. So they would be there. You know, I want to see Brother Nicholas and my Father there waiting for us to meet them in the clouds of heaven. Amen? Because I want to tell you that Jesus is coming soon. There's no more time to waste. Give your life to God today. There's no tomorrow. Today is today. Tomorrow is never promised. And I want to tell you, my friends, the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused on him. Never let go. Always drink that water that he's offering you. The world has nothing to give you but life, misery, pain, and suffering. Jesus Christ has eternal happiness in our heavenly kingdom. This is where I want to be. My hope is that that's where you want to be also. That every person in this congregation be there and joining our Heavenly Father. I want to see the river of life. I want to see the sea of glass. I want to eat from the fruit of the tree. I want to be there. I want to talk to all my favorite characters from the Bible, all the prophets. I want the excitement. I mean, sometimes when I'm thinking of earthly things, you know, it's natural to get a little down on yourself. But then when I think of the future and what God holds for you, the excitement sometimes, I can't hide it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't hide it. Jesus has such exciting plans for you. He wants you to be there. There's not going to be no more suffering. He has plans for you that you would not know. When you're up there in heaven, you're gonna think about what happened to you on earth, and you're going to go, that was nothing. This was all worth it. And I want to tell you that if you keep your eyes focused on God, that's going to be your eternal life. He has something waiting for you. He has something waiting for me. And if we drink of the water that he's giving us, we will be there with him one day. Don't think about your problems. Because I want to tell you, every person has a problem. And whoever tells you that they don't, it's not true. Every person here, you have to carry your cross each and every day. But God has a way for you. He has an answer. He says, if you come to me, what happens? I will give you peace and rest. And I know that if we go searching for him, I want that peace and rest here on earth. But my goal is to be with him in the heavenly kingdom. I want to see every person that I know, which is my family. I consider Wayne my family. I want to be one big family. Imagine we have one Wayne church up there in heaven. Amen? Let me tell you, I want to see that. It is my great desire that every person that I have ever encountered be with our Heavenly Father in heaven. There shouldn't be no greater joy than to be with him in heaven. And there's a life coming that you will never know. I mean, you will never know the glorious happiness that we're going to have over there in heaven. Imagine sitting at the table and having Jesus himself come down to worship to us. I mean, you know, me, I can't even picture it. You know, the mental picture, I just can't. But I want to see it. How about you? I want to be there. There's no greater joy, my friends, than to go to heaven and to celebrate the life that Jesus gave for you. And, you know, we're going to be trophies up there of what we accomplished. He loves us so much that he came and he gave his life for you. Jesus is telling you today, come and drink of the water. And I want to tell you that he hasn't forgotten about, you know, any person. Because some people sometimes think, oh, God is not with me, God. No. Just like that woman at the well, God was there and knew exactly what she was going through. He gave her exactly what she needed. And God is willing to do the same for you today. I pray and I hope that you guys, during the week, that you have a closer relationship with God, that know that he is undefeated in battle. There's no battle that he has ever lost. And I want to tell you, your battle is not greater than anything that he's ever won before. He's going to be there with you. He's going to fight your battles for you. I can tell you 100 testimonies about how God has fought my battles and has won each and every battle. Give your life to Christ and watch your battle be won. The victory is his, says the Lord. And when we get to heaven, we can talk about everything that we went through on this earth. I pray that you guys have a pleasant weekend, that as you go through your week and you feel discouraged, remember that Jesus has living water to give you, and you will never thirst again. Our closing hymn is a little different. I want to come as you are, and I want the praise team to come up. And because let me tell you something. Sometimes we feel like we can't go to Christ, but Christ says, come as you are. No matter what you went through, what you suffer, come to Christ.